Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
We were real close growing up. We remained close. Not a day goes by that I don't think about her. Just not fair. What's happened to her? That beach owes her more than what they've done. It's so sad because I know what happened to her, and it's just so sad that there's no justice for her, and she's just gone, vanished. There's nobody doing anything about it. Very hurtful.
It's never left my heart, like what happened to her, and she deserves to be found, and I stayed in touch with them over the years. So I would just like an update, just anything. You know, tell me to go fly a kite. Tell me it's an active case and then don't say anything else. But they would not respond at all. Nothing. No updates in 5 years.
Around April 19th of 2016, 44-year-old Kelly Allison Whitten disappeared from Panama City Beach, Florida. The circumstances were frightening enough. She had been in the middle of breaking up with the man she lived with and had been dating, who had a history of violence and making threats he promised to make good on. The two got into an altercation in a restaurant, and her boyfriend claimed he never saw her again, changed his story later, and subsequently refused to cooperate with the police after they started investigating her disappearance. But no one had reported Allison missing until the end of May. Why did it take 6 weeks for anyone to realize that she was missing? What has taken place since then is truly extraordinary. But Kelly Allison Whitten is still missing, and the mystery surrounding her disappearance continues to deepen. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 367 of The Vanished. Kelly Allison Whitten's story, part one. I'm not missing, am I? Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. In 2018, Allison Louise Whitten got a call from a woman asking if she was the woman's missing sister named Allison Whitten. The missing woman's name was legally Kelly Allison Whitten, though she always went by Allison. To avoid confusion throughout this story, we will refer to the witness who received the phone call as Allison L, and the missing person simply as Allison. The Allison L on the phone explained that no, she was not missing, but she was intrigued. Allison's family was from the same region of the country she hailed from, and she had always been interested in genealogy. Was it possible that the two were related and she had a missing relative that she had never heard of? Allison L. was the first person to reach out to us about this story, having done her own research on Allison's life and disappearance, and asked for our help giving her name and story a larger platform. So we asked Allison to tell us how this all started for her.
So I get the call from her sister. Actually, Rhonda was the first one to contact me on Facebook Messenger. This was 2 years after Allison went missing. And Rhonda reaches out and she's like, "Hi, you don't know me. My sister is missing. Her name is Allison Whitten. And there's a guy named John Brown who's going online and saying that you're her and you don't want to be found." You know, I just almost bust into tears because I can't imagine, number one, having a sister missing. But number two, just the fact that, you know, just the whole thing was crazy and having to reach out and do this, I just couldn't imagine it. And I was like, "Listen, I know who he is. He's an army vet. He's an older gentleman. I don't even know how he found Facebook. He has a flip phone. I apologize that he's causing any problems, but please, you know, let me know that what happens with this. I'm just shocked that she has the same name for the most part, that that's what she goes by. And I said, I'll call whoever you want me to. I wound up calling back the Bay County Sheriff's Department and they said, you know, who's John Brown? Who are you? And I told them the story, you know, it's a gentleman I take care of. I have no idea how he found this. I'm sure there was nothing malicious about it. He was probably just trying to protect me because he thought it was me for whatever reason. And, you know, knows that I don't want to be found right now, that I am, you know, in Santa Rosa County, in fact, trying to stay off the grid. So it was just an honest to God mix up.
At the time Allison L. got this call, she was understandably shocked, not just that someone else had the same name as her, but that they were missing, and that her family and law enforcement believed she might be the missing person. And who was this missing person who had the same name? At the time, Allison L. had been laying low herself, trying to stay under the radar after escaping a violent relationship. Was it possible someone, maybe even her abuser, had reported her missing and was looking for her? But the details didn't quite match. Allison L. wasn't in hiding, and she wasn't using anyone else's name. And she's not the same age as Kelly Allison Whitten. In fact, the two women are more than a decade apart in age. So when we talked to Allison L., we asked her how this mix-up happened.
I actually was like a home health care aide for a gentleman who, he was a veteran, he'd served our country, and he was probably in his, I guess, mid to late 60s. I took care of him and lived with him for 4 to 5 years. The man couldn't operate a flip phone. I mean, he barely knew how to work a VCR. But after I was done taking care of him, you know, I still remained friends with him. And one day I get a call from Bay County Sheriff's Office. Well, I didn't answer it because I thought maybe they've got the wrong number. I didn't even know about Allison at the time. And then I started getting messages on Facebook from Rhonda, who's Allison's sister, and Reggie, who is Allison's brother. And they were like, do you know this man named John Brown? He's saying that you're our sister that's missing. And I was like, what? Somehow or another, he had found his way onto Facebook, I'm sure with the help of somebody who, you know, to this day, we still don't know. And John since passed away, but he most certainly found his way onto the missing Allison Whitten Facebook page and said, she's not missing. She's here in Santa Rosa County and maybe she doesn't want to be found, which incited a whole bunch of craziness. And I was just like, oh my word. I mean, I had no idea because I wasn't on Facebook at the time in any way, shape or form. So when I actually got on there, it still hurts my heart because it's still on Allison's, you know, Finding Allison page, the post where he went on there and said that. And it hurts. Oh, they were upset. Oh my God. And I felt so horrible because I just can't imagine. But at the time I had just gotten out of a domestically abusive relationship and I really didn't want to be found. I wasn't on Facebook.
Allison L. said she believed it was a genuinely innocent mistake. Her employer was someone elderly and unfamiliar with social media. He didn't realize the gravity of what he was saying when he said he knew where Allison was. He also didn't seem to notice the difference in their names, as Allison L. has only one L in Allison, and the missing person has two. Allison L. told us she felt compelled to stay in touch with Rhonda and Allison's other relatives, and was drawn to learning more about who the missing Allison was. So we asked her to give us the basics.
My real name is Allison Whitten. Hers was Kelly Allison Whitten, but she went by Allison. You know, that's how she signed her name. That's how everyone knew her. I've never heard anybody call her Kelly, ever. Not family, not friends. I mean, she solely went by Allison. There's a big difference. There is. And that's why the whole debacle was crazy, because if you looked at us side by side, which I never got to meet Allison, but we are kin down the line somewhere from the Whitten name and being from Alabama, South, you know, in the South. We definitely are. I've had the genealogy people at the library working on it, but I haven't been back. But we are related somewhere down the line. She was almost 6 feet tall and I'm 5 foot on a good day. We looked nothing alike, which is just even more crazy about the fact that we, you know, got this whole online mix up happened, but I guess it was meant to be, so all this would happen, you know? So that's kind of how that happened. And ever since then, which that was 2018, I've stayed in touch with Allison's family And they're the sweetest people. And I absolutely hate it because there are so many similarities between that Allison and myself. And I just feel like, you know, that could have been me. And I wanted to do anything I could to try to find her. They live in Alabama. Rhonda lives in Dothan and Mr. Reggie lives in Raymer, which is a couple hours up north.
Throughout this story, you will hear the names of many people who had different relationships with Allison and roles in her life. We will delve into the most important people in part two of Allison's story, because their roles are pivotal to answering the question, what happened to Allison Whitten and when? But the question of when Allison disappeared was the one we wanted to determine and answer first. So we began to explore the timeline of Allison's disappearance, because one of the initial observations we had about her case was that there was a nearly 60-day disparity in reported dates she was last seen. On April 8, 2016, William, who we will refer to as Billy throughout this story, and Allison were out at a restaurant. Billy and Allison had been in a relationship for some time, but they were openly on the rocks and were arguing on this particular evening. Billy has an important role in this story as Allison's significant other and possibly the last person to see her, and we will look at him specifically in part two. After she was reported missing, Billy told the police that the evening they had the altercation at the bar was the last time he saw Allison, though later in his initial police statement, he said he believed she stopped by the house to pick up some of her things on April 18, 2016, and that was the last time he saw her, 10 days after the evening they had the altercation. This was further corroborated by colleagues at the tax preparation business where Allison worked, who would later tell police that she had worked on April 18th, and that they remembered this date specifically because it signified the end of their busiest part of tax season. This is what Allison L. told us she learned in her research about the timeline of Allison's disappearance.
Okay, so Allison's date that she supposedly was last seen was April the 8th of 2016. Well, that was the narrative from her then boyfriend, Billy. But the last day she was actually seen, she finished tax season because she was doing taxes for Liberty Tax in Panama City Beach. And she finished tax season, which was on the 18th. Allison's best friend, Peggy, who's the one that reported her missing, she wasn't reported missing for 6 weeks because nobody knew that she was missing. The day she was reported missing was May 31st, 2016, which is, I think, like 74 days after she went missing. The last person that was credible, that's never had a drug charge, never been in trouble with the police, would be Sandra Strange, who was her boss at Liberty Tax in Panama City. And she swears and gave a sworn statement to police that Allison was there on April the 18th, finishing the last day of tax season. May 31st, her best friend, Peggy Lynn Miller, reported her missing because she was like, this isn't right. I can normally track Allison down in a couple hours. And Allison had planned after she got her last paycheck from Liberty Tax to leave town because she was that afraid of him and she was over it. Billy is the ex-boyfriend or soon to be ex-boyfriend. She never picked up her last paycheck. Nobody ever saw her after the last day of tax season, which was April the 18th.
It's important to separate credible witnesses from others in this story for several reasons. One thing that stood out was Billy's almost immediate contradiction in his initial statement to police, when he said that he saw Allison on the 8th and then the 18th. There was also an interview in the police file with the person that Allison went to buy drugs from. This person was candid with police, and she said that she saw Allison on the 18th and spent about 20 minutes with her smoking a joint together. While we would not normally consider a drug dealer to be a credible witness, her candor with police about her own illegal activities on this date make it more likely than not that she's telling the truth. We felt like we kept hearing April the 18th, despite the fact that the official missing persons report gives a range of dates from April 8th through May 31st, and most media outlets, flyers, and missing persons databases say April 8th. So what was it that was so significant about April 18th? While it seemed odd that Billy changed the dates from the 8th to the 18th in his interview, these other independent witnesses seemed to corroborate his story, that Allison was not missing as late as April 18th. There was another man in Allison's life that we will cover in depth in part two. This man is now deceased. So we have to rely on the accounts of others and the records we received on him to establish his role in Allison's disappearance. His name is Herbert Davis Groover, and the people we spoke to referred to him as any of these three names. So you may hear him referred to as Davis or Groover throughout the story. We will refer to him as Davis. Allison L. told us that from what she understands, Allison spent the night of April 18th at this man's house. And this is where the woman who claimed to have smoked a joint with Allison on the 18th says that this happened.
She was over at her, I guess, for all intents and purposes, her sugar daddy. His name was Herbert Davis Groover III. Everybody called him Groover or Davis. He lived like literally three or four blocks from where her and Billy lived. She had stayed the night at Davis's on the 18th, which was a Monday, after tax season was over. And Davis's drug dealer even came over and made a sworn statement to the police that he had, or she had seen him, or seen Allison, excuse me, at his house that night, and that everything was fine. Allison had a dog named Winston. She wouldn't have been anywhere without her dog. A lot of people say, oh, you know, that's their kids. They would have never left their kids. Well, Allison would have never left Winston behind. Like, she would have taken Winston to hell if that's just, she wouldn't go anywhere without him. And Allison was there on the night of the 18th with Winston, with the truck that Billy let her drive. On the morning of the 19th, Allison got up. Her and Davis got into it because there was no drugs left over from the night before. And Allison got angry with him, and she took her laptop, she took up the truck, she took Winston, and she left his house. That's the morning of the 19th of April, 2016.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. We also spoke to one of Allison's friends, Peggy, who told us what she knew about this argument between Allison and her then-boyfriend, Billy, which we were told happened on April 8th.
She told me about her and Billy's son had gone, they'd gone golfing. They'd spent the whole day together. It was a good day. And then they went home, and they were talking about going to eat. So she took a shower. When she got out of the shower, Billy and his son were gone. So then she drove herself to the restaurant where they were going to go eat. And then that's when she saw that her dog was locked in Billy's truck with the windows up. And she went into that Cajun place and threw a big fit, broke his truck windows. Then she moved out. And that was the last time that she lived in that house was that day.
Peggy told us about the last time she spoke to Allison.
The last time I talked to her, asked how things were going with Billy, and she said, they're good. We don't see each other. I go to the house and hang out, do laundry, whatever, get my things while he's at work, and then I'm out of there before he comes home. Okay, perfect. She's like, yeah, it's a great setup, and he's about to start working offshore again. So while he's offshore, I'm going to live in the house, and then when he's home, I'll go stay somewhere else. She said, so it's really much better now than it's ever been. And I said, that's really good. That's really good. And then I told her we were going to go kayaking that weekend. She's like, I can't make a promise, but I'll try to be there. And I said, good. And, you know, love you too. And that was that. It was right before April 15th because she was still working. It was right before the end of tax season.
After Allison vanished, Davis told Peggy prior to his death that Allison spent the night on the 18th with him.
Davis said, Billy's the last one that saw her. How would he know that? The last person I know that saw her is Davis because he said they were together. She spent the night that night and left in the morning. That's Davis's words. She left his house.
So what happened after that? Allison is unaccounted for after that sighting, but there's also another component to her story, the discovery of her truck abandoned. There's something important to note about what we know about the truck. In the police records, all of the information about when and where the truck was found comes from Allison's boyfriend, Billy. He said that the truck was abandoned at a bar walking distance from Allison and Billy's house. We don't know when it was first noticed in the parking lot, but we do know from police records that Billy said it was towed on April 24, 2016. We found no records within Allison's file that show any outside confirmation of this information. There was no record of a phone call or visit to the tow yard to speak to the person who towed it in order to confirm when and where. This will come up again later, so keep it in mind. Billy told police that he picked up Allison's truck, which was registered to him after it was towed. He also told police that he assumed Allison had been at that bar, but we heard from her friends and brother that she hated that bar and would never go there. It was Allison's friend Peggy who ultimately made the initial police report, and is not only friends with Allison, but married to Terrence Bubb, who was friends with Allison's boyfriend, Billy. That's how Allison and Peggy met and became friends. When we spoke with Peggy, she told us about a chance run-in her father-in-law, Tom Bubb, had with Allison's boyfriend, Billy, at a local grocery store after Allison had disappeared.
So Tom Bubb told me that he saw Allison's truck on a tow truck. And so he went to that little grocery store at Carousel and saw Billy in the store, just happened to run into him and said, so Billy, what'd you do? Have your wife's truck repossessed? Good for you. And Billy said, what are you talking about? Tom said, I just saw it being towed. So Billy called around, found out where the truck was, went and got it, and brought it home. So then I called Billy and I say, have you seen Allison? And he said, no. And I said, but you have the truck? And he's like, yeah, Peggy. And it's really weird. There's nothing in the truck. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, nothing. None of her hair ties are in the truck. All of her toothpicks, her toothpaste, toothbrush, because Allison was very funny about her teeth. So she was almost compulsive about keeping her teeth. She was very, very conscious about oral health. Just weird. Allison always had a scrunchy hair ties around the gear shift in the truck. And she always had a Frisbee, dog toys, an extra leash. She had all kinds of things that stayed in that truck. So when he picked it up and it had absolutely nothing in it, that scared me because she wouldn't be without her truck.
We also spoke to Allison's brother, Reggie, and he told us that Allison would have never gone to that now closed bar where Billy says the truck was ultimately towed from. He told us that after he learned that Allison was missing and went to Billy for help, he felt like he was attempting to mislead him.
I went down there and I'm calling Billy on the way. And he was trying to convince me about this Davis Gruber guy. Well, when I got down there to Billy's and Allison wasn't there, I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a Billy Badbird or anything, but when I got down there, listen, my sister's missing. I'm not going to ask you if I can come in. I'm here. When I went to Billy, I was amazed at the response that the way he acted when I got there. I could tell something about my appearance and me was shaking him up. I told him, I said, hey, Billy, come show me. Because he had told me that Austin's truck was at the beach house bar, which was across from Groover's. That's where they had it towed from. And Austin, well, come on, let's go look at some of this stuff. And I could tell when riding with him, I said, man, this dude right here, he's nervous about something, you know. And we got to the beach house there. I said, now show me where the, he walked me, pointed me where the truck was. So I went in that beach house place and I talked to him. They'd never seen my sister in there. They didn't know nothing, you know what I'm saying? Said they'd never known her to go in there. And I know that Austin had told me that she would never step foot in there. So it was a point to me. I said, no, why was her truck towed from here? Well, so Billy and I walked back out, and I happened to look across the road, up a little bit, was a motel. It had a sign there, and lo and behold, there was a camera up there. I took Billy down and I said, Billy, look. I pointed up at the camera, and when he looked up and seen that camera, the look on his face, I knew right then that I was standing beside the man who had hurt my sister. I knew it.
Reggie told us that this palpably terrifying realization continued down a strange path with Billy.
Well, at that moment, it was like the Holy Spirit came over me and said, just put their hand on me and said, wait, child, wait. And so I stood there and I said, okay, I can't do nothing right now. I just got to prove this or whatever. So we went and I took him back to his house and he said, hey, let's make plans for us to, in the morning, breakfast or something other and go do something. Well, next morning, I mean, I wasn't even awake. He called me in the morning and he was in tears. I've got to go to church, man. I mean, he was in tears saying he had to go to church. He said, but I want to see you afterwards. And I was like, well, okay. Well, while he was at church, I said, okay, I'm going to find out about this truck. Well, I went to looking, and on Panama City Beach, at that time, there were only two companies that would tow a vehicle. Went the first one? No. Second one? Jackpot. He said, yep, I towed the Ford Ranger. He said, but I towed it to my Waffle House. Told me where, he showed me the info on it. I went to the Waffle House. They were kind enough to let me look at their security footage. Now, the truck was towed from a little bit out there in the parking lot. And I still got the pictures of this on my phone today because I rolled the tape back and it is very clear. But it is William Davis drives that truck there, gets out, wipes off the door and everything, and leaves walking in the direction of his house. So I go and I tell Bay County about that. I said, hey, so they go and look at it. Because, see, they had done talked to Billy. And Billy told them, because they were like, hey, how'd you get out some stuff? He says, oh, Tom so-and-so saw it being towed or whatever. Well, so when I told the sheriff, I said, no. I said, the truck was towed from the Waffle House. And I said, here's the picture of the person who, and they were like, oh, we got him. They went to talk to him because he had done told them one thing about the truck. So they were like, hey, we want to ask you about it. As soon as they said something about the truck, he stood up and said, oh, I got a lawyer, that's it, I ain't talking.
We were surprised to hear from Reggie that the tow company said they towed the truck from a Waffle House and not the bar, and also that he had seen surveillance footage from the Waffle House with his own eyes, and he saw what he believed was Billy on camera leaving it there. There is absolutely no mention of a Waffle House in Allison's police file, but also no confirmation of Billy's story that it was towed from the bar, as we mentioned earlier. We will come back to this crucial clue about Billy's possible involvement in part two, when we delve further into Billy and the other people in Allison's life. But this leads us to believe that by that point, Allison was gone for good. And the most likely date she disappeared is within 24 hours after she was last seen by coworkers on April 18th and the next day. It wouldn't be until May 31st that Allison's friend Peggy made the initial police report, after a disturbing response when she started calling around to see if anyone had heard from Allison.
Allison was staying with her friend Leslie, and Leslie called me on the last day of May, so I guess the 31st, and said that her mother, Leslie's mother, had passed away, and she was looking for Allison and couldn't get a hold of her. And when anybody couldn't find Allison, they called me because that was where Allison would come to clean up, or just, it was her safe place. And so I started trying to call Allison. And when I texted her like 911 and she didn't respond at all, then I knew something was wrong. And so I called friends in Georgia, her family in Alabama, and friends in California. And when none of those people had seen her or heard from her, I started to get worried. I could usually have heard back from her within an hour at the most. Then I called my father-in-law because he lives around the corner from her. And, you know, like you'd see her at the grocery store or whatever right there in their neighborhood. And asked him if he'd seen Allison. And he said that no, but everybody's looking for her. I think she's probably dead somewhere, and laughed. And I said, why would you say that? That's really shitty. I called Rhonda and said, I think you need to call and report Allison missing. I can't find her and no one has seen her. And her truck was towed. So Rhonda said, well, you do it because you're there. So I called.
Ultimately, this is how Allison came to be reported missing in Bay County, Florida on May 31st, 2016. We were not able to speak with Allison's sister, Rhonda, but have connected with her through Allison L., and she was very forthcoming with information. She simply acknowledges that talking about her sister's disappearance is too difficult for her to do. Everyone we spoke to told us that Allison was extremely attached to her dog, Winston, and took him everywhere she went. The woman who says she smoked a joint with Allison on the evening of the 18th said that Allison had Winston there at Davis's home that night. Davis said that she left the following morning with all of her belongings. Strangely, after Allison vanished, Winston was back at Billy's. No one knows the details of how or when he came to have the dog. Allison also had a cat. After Allison's family was made aware that she was missing, Reggie and Rhonda stepped up to care for her beloved pets. We can understand where Rhonda is coming from with talking about her sister, as we were disturbed by the brutal honesty with which Tom told Peggy that Allison was dead, but not nearly as disturbed as we would be once we finished Allison's story. So we looked to Allison's family for more information on her disappearance to find out what they knew. Allison's brother Reggie told us how he learned his sister couldn't be found and hadn't been seen in some time.
But when Allison went missing, I'll never forget what was happening at the time. I had my youngest daughter that was living with me. DHR took her from her mother and put the child, me and I, she'd been living, going to school with me. Well, her mother had done made a couple of attempts to come in here and kidnap her. It was crazy. I was in the middle of a major deal with her. And Allison and I, we talked often. We had made plans for Allison and my niece, Courtney, and me. It was their birthday, kind of like a party, and I had a little event planned for them in May there. Allison was supposed to finish up, you know, at Liberty there, and she was going to come stay with me for a while and talked about even, she had mentioned something about possibly moving to this area. You know, I didn't think much of it because she had never told me, anything else. So anyway, a few weeks went by there, and I didn't hear from her. Not that I wasn't thinking of her. It's just I had my hands full with stuff. And I was expecting her to show up. You know, so anyway, a couple of weeks go by. I don't hear from her. Well, I get a call from my other sister saying that somebody down there had called asking if we had seen her. This was on a Wednesday or Thursday. Well, a Friday at lunchtime, I told my boss man, I said, I'm out of here.
This was when Reggie left to make the trip to Florida to meet with Billy face to face.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
It seemed that for all intents and purposes, Allison simply vanished without a trace. Even though there is a cell phone missing with her, no known information has been yielded from it. She never picked up her last paycheck, and her employer never heard from her after April 18th. All of her other belongings, including the truck she drove, remained left behind. And it's the clues we were able to find in those treasured possessions, including her beloved dog. That's where we'll pick up the story of Allison's disappearance in part two. First, we needed to know who Allison was, so that we could fully examine the facts of her disappearance and the people in her life at the time she vanished. First, we turned to Reggie.
We were real close growing up. She was a tomboy. It didn't matter what we was doing, she made a competition of it. Like, I remember we would be going somewhere and they might call us for supper and it would be a race back to the farm. We grew up on a farm at a feed mill. There was one time her and I, we were unloading watermelons, I believe, out of a truck. Yeah, that's back when they were kids, you know. So anyway, we were unloading, and the truck, there was a couple of feet between the truck and the dock there. Well, I took a run and jumped, and I told her, Allison, don't do that. I told her not to do it. Begged her, well, she did it anyway, and she didn't quite make it and busted one of her teeth. But she was just tough and a tomboy, and I'm older than her, about 2 years, I believe. She done karate. She played guitar. But those were two of the main things that she immersed herself in. She loved to stay in good physical condition. She loved music, playing guitar, writing songs. She had a few friends, that she would go and jam with. Good friend, it was a drummer, and they would just play music. And she was just all-around person, real smart. Done real good in school, went on to college, got her degree in accounting, was an accountant when she went missing. She was a true friend to you. She was just a great person. She really was. She loved, like, when she'd have friends over, maybe having a little party, something, a few drinks. I was the life of the party. She really was.
Allison's friend Peggy, who made the missing persons report in May of 2016, told us how she knew Allison and what drew her to becoming friends with her.
I met Allison through my husband. He knew Allison since he was like 13 years old. She was a friend of his dad's, Tom Bub. My husband is Terrence Bub. It was Christmas Eve and we'd gone over to his house and Allison was there. And we just became best friends right away. We just hit it off. She was just a really great person. They were playing guitar and we didn't like the same people, but that's how I met her. And then we just started hanging out after that. She was just real. Christmas Eve, somebody had stolen my phone and my camera. I was like, where's she at? I'm going to go get my shit. And she just like jumped in the car and there we went. We were going to look for these people that stole my stuff. Just, she's ready to go. She 100% had my back. And I just liked that. She was down for anything. She wasn't one to like go get in trouble. She wasn't going to do anything stupid other than obviously go drive around and try to find thieves. But she loved the Lord. She was honest. And I like that. So many people, especially on that beach, are fake. They pretend. She used to laugh at me because she would say, you're so judgmental. And I'd be like, I'm not judgmental. I'm using my God-given gift of discernment. And she would be like, you're supposed to love these people with the love of the Lord. You got to treat these people like they're God's creation. This is God's stuff. And I'm like, well, he needs to get his junk out of my yard.
Peggy told us that Allison's outsized personality and enthusiasm about life was one trait that really made her a great friend.
And Allison wasn't afraid of anybody. She was a badass. She didn't have fear. It would be after she's looking down the barrel of a gun where she'd be like, oh, shit. Sweet, when those people stole my stuff, and she's like, we'll go to my house and we'll get my gun. I'm like, no, we'll use our hands. Like, we're not taking, no. Holy, she's like, yeah, you're right. Like, oh my God. Like, her knee-jerk reaction was always like, we're doing it. She had no fear. She had a zest for life. Like, she'd be out there, huge waves on her surfboard or in her kayak. She loved life very much, had no fear of anything. She was amazing. She really was.
To round out our search for information about Allison in a story that seemed to focus more on the people around her, we also talked to another one of her friends, Jennifer, who was also friends with Peggy, and asked her to tell us about her friendship with Allison.
Actually, I met her at an AA meeting. She was just extremely friendly, outgoing, very helpful. First of all, we just kind of had a bond immediately. She was bubbly, she was bright, witty. She just can make you laugh. She was real upbeat. I had 10 years, and then I lost my stepdad and my mom and Allison. I'm not making excuses because there is no excuse, but I wasn't strong in my program when I relapsed. But I should have been strong in my program, but I was working a lot of hours, and I had gotten away from going to meetings and stuff like that, so I couldn't cope with it. I didn't want to cope with the pain. It's not that I couldn't. I didn't want to. So I went back out. And Allison and I, that's how we met. And that's kind of our goal, was to be a good influence on each other and stay sober. You know, there was times she helped me and there was times I helped her. Probably helped me more than I ever helped her. She did. She was a big person in my life. Allison is the type of person, Allison cannot shut up. She's not quiet. She's not a quiet person. Allison's not the type of person that keeps anything to herself. There's no way she would ever remain quiet this long if it was possible that she didn't have to. She was just too outspoken, too people person, too. She was too attached to her people. She is loving and kind as she was, and as close as you could be to her, she could also be one of the most aggressive, obstinate people ever when she set her mind to it. And if she set her mind to something, she was going to stick to it. So I can see, over the years, me and her had our times where we would go at it. I mean, we would go at it, but we always worked through it.
Allison had some struggles in her life, but she was intelligent, educated, and had been working full-time doing tax preparation for several years. While there are some aspects of her life that point to what possibly led to her disappearance, we also know that Allison was full of life. She had a positive outlook and good prospects for her future after she and Billy separated. But Allison had done more than smoke the occasional joint and was known to use illegal drugs, but they had not taken over her life, and she maintained a full-time job and relationships with others. We don't know to what extent, if any, Allison's drug use contributed to her disappearance, but we can't exclude it as a possible factor. And we wanted to know exactly what Allison's relationship with substances looked like to those who saw her regularly. This is what Peggy told us.
She told me when I met Billy, they were both homeless and using and pretty much living on the beach. And they would find shells and then sell them to the tourists. And that's how they would make money. And then they cleaned up and got a little, like a fourplex. They were living in a fourplex when I met her. And he was working offshore. She got a job and they bought a house and things were good. She was an accountant. She had a CPA. She had an accounting degree from Georgia. She, had her issues with drugs. And I have never done drugs. Like, I drink and I smoke way too many cigarettes, but that's it. And she had her battles with other things. Yes, she has drug issues. But that's not who she is. Like, there's way more to her than that. And she might go off the rails and I wouldn't see her for 3-4 months at a time. And then she'd call me, code red alert, coming in hot. And I knew that she was coming over and she was going to be there about 2 weeks while she cleaned up. And then she'd go get another job and she'd be good 6 months, a year, year and a half, whatever. And then she'd twist off again. She'd be like a binge user, I guess. Not like an everyday, all day kind of thing.
There was one other factor about Allison's disappearance that may have been related to drugs. While speaking with Peggy, she mentioned a conversation that she had with one of the investigators about Allison.
I called Brotherson, told him what was going on, reported her missing, and then he called me back and he started asking me questions about her. And I asked him, where was her truck towed from? And he looked through his paperwork. I could hear the paperwork and said it was picked up at the beach house. Now, that is a little shitty bar. It's a bar where if you wanted a pill, a joint, a needle, whatever kind of drug you want, that's the pharmacy. That's where you would go. Allison never went to bars. She didn't go to that bar. She got her drugs from Davis. She didn't go to bars. She didn't like a bar. Why would you go spend $4 on a beer when you can get a 12-pack? You know, I mean, it was just, she didn't go hang out at bars. The fact that her truck was at a bar does not make any sense to me. And I told Brotherson that. I said she didn't go to bars and she certainly didn't go to that bar. And he said that's exactly what Mr. Daly said, was that that's crazy that her car was there.
And there was also another aspect of Allison's life completely out of her control, but something that clearly affected her deeply, that may have contributed to her desire to use substances and may be related to her disappearance. But we can't be sure. Peggy told us what Allison's open secret was.
She grew up Christian, and she struggled because she was a lesbian, and she struggled because some of her family had told her she was going to go to hell because that she was gay. And that was kind of one thing, like one of our first conversations, because she had a boyfriend, and the boyfriend that she had, Billy Daly, was a friend of my husband's. Like, they worked together for years. So I asked her, like, is it weird for you having a boyfriend when you're gay? And she said, yes, it is. I'm denying a huge part of who I am. He loved her. And I remember Allison, you know, and they say Allison didn't love Billy. Allison sat on my couch and cried. I wish he loved me like I loved him. Allison loved her brother. I mean, I'd never met Reggie before, but I know Allison was very, she loved her brother. They had a good relationship out of every, when she was came out and they all knew she was gay, her brother was the only one that would have anything to do with her.
Allison's story is a complicated one with many different characters possibly involved. She seemed to simply vanish without a trace, and it took a while for those close to her to realize and report her missing. A delay in reporting always complicates missing persons cases. Those initial days are so important when it comes to gathering evidence. But there is some potentially strong evidence in this case, and we'll explore that with you next week, including a recorded confession by a person who allegedly killed Allison. Be sure to tune in for part 2 on Monday, October 24th. We're going to explore the people in Allison's life in depth, examine the alleged confession, discuss the law enforcement investigation into her disappearance and other events that have occurred since she vanished. You'll also hear from her family and friends about what life without Allison has been like and how they continue to hold out hope that there will be healing, justice, and closure for everyone who loves her. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Kelly Allison Whitten, please contact the Bay County Sheriff's Office at 850-747-4700 or Crime Stoppers at 850-785-TIPS. That's 850-785-8477.
To this day, I have not talked, I have not done anything else. Nothing. But that's not all that they had on the man. I guess you know, you've heard about the confession where he confessed. Of course, they can't use it. When I got arrested for digging up his yard, all of that stuff that I found buried in his backyard, nothing ever done about that. And if you ask one of the investigators, oh, we know Billy done something, but I just don't get why they haven't done anything about it. There was so much evidence, but, you know, just not enough dots to connect or whatever.
There is a tape. There is a confession of what happened to her and what happened to her body. I've heard the confession tape, so he didn't know he was being recorded. Yeah, it's pretty scary.
The following statement is being conducted by Deputy Chance of the Bay County Sheriff's Office. Today's date is 8-9-2016, and the current time is 18:20 in the afternoon. I am currently present with a witness in regards to this situation. And do me a favor, raise your right hand. You swear firm that everything you're about to tell me is true to the best of your knowledge and belief? Okay. As you previously discussed to me, you stated that you got dropped off by your boyfriend here at this residence. Is that right? At which point you watched your boyfriend drive down the road to the intersection of Romanza and Del Mar. Is that right? At which point he was confronted by a gentleman. You didn't know exactly who he was at the time, but that gentleman ended up coming to the driver's side window of your boyfriend's vehicle. Is that right? While that gentleman was standing at the driver's side window, you saw him swing into the vehicle, striking your boyfriend in the face. Okay. When you, as you were watching, you then realized who that was. Do you remember who that was? William Daly. Okay. And you know William Daly because you were in a relationship briefly with him. Is that right?
That brings us to the end of part one of Allison's story. We'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and discussion group on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a survey at wondery.com/survey. You can also support the show by contributing on Patreon, where you can get early and ad-free episodes. Don't forget to tune in next week for the conclusion of Allison's story. Thanks for listening.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid. We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity, that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.